Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today as we meet together around our radios, coast to coast in America, and all the way around the world on this God Is podcast. I'm glad you are here, and I want to pick up where we left off yesterday in the prologue of the Bible's book of Job. Let's start with a reminder. The curtain opens now on the prologue, and I'm reading from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Job 1, verse 1 begins, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually." And that was Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In this prologue, we meet God and Job. At first, we only notice this man, Job. He is center stage. And here is what we observe. Job is a man who reveres God and hates evil. Job is rich in finances and family relationships, and Job rises early to intercede for his children. Think of these as the 3 R's. Job reveres God, Job is rich, and Job rises early. Perhaps this will help you to remember Job at the beginning of this drama. Last time we talked in detail about Job's reverence for God and how he hated evil, and also how Job is rich in finances and family relationships. And then I said this about Job rising early to intercede for his children. In verse 5, we learn Job loved his children and was concerned about their spiritual maturity. He wanted his 10 kids to revere God and to hate evil. He was worried about their sin, and so Job turns them over to God. He consecrates them. This was a form of dedication. Job consecrated and dedicated his children to God. Are you worried about your own children's relationship to God? If so, follow Job here. Instead of holding on tightly to your sons and daughters and perhaps trying to control their response to God, intentionally give them over to the Lord. Rise up early and pray for them. Why get up early to do this? Because otherwise you are too busy to do so. Job consecrated his kids early in the morning before he got busy with the business of the day. There's a practical message here for you parents and grandparents. Continually. Notice how verse 5 ends. Thus Job did continually. So continually dedicate your sons and daughters and grandchildren to God. That's a review for us. Now, remember from our introduction last week that Job lived during the time of the patriarchs. This was before God gave the law, the priesthood, and the tabernacle. So that here, in Job 1 verse 5, Job serves as the high priest in his own family. He carefully prepared a burnt offering before God for the children. These burnt offerings were meant to cover any of the sins his family had committed against God. This really shows us the depth of reverential awe, fear, and honor that Job has for God. Job is so sensitive to sin that he even prepares offerings for the children. I pray that we will all have this same sensitivity to sin in our own lives and the lives of our families, and that we too will turn away from evil. In particular, Christian parents have a great responsibility before God to be an example to their children for how we honor the living God in our households. Your kids watch you and listen to you and absorb everything. What are they learning from you about what you think of God? This is a serious question. It is convicting, and I hope it will be one you soberly ask yourself. On this point, Job serves as a model for you. But just before the curtain falls on this prologue, I want you to notice that Job did not offer a burnt offering for himself. Job must have thought that he was right with God. The children needed the covering for their sin, but what about Job's sin? Did he not need covering? This may seem like a minor matter now, but you just remember this when God speaks to Job all the way over in chapters 38 through 41. I'll say this, let us be very careful that we acknowledge our own sinfulness to God, that we confess our own sins to Christ, and invite his forgiveness for our iniquities, even as we pray that he will forgive our children's sins and draw them close to him. As we watch, the curtain now closes on the prologue. We have learned that Job is a man who reveres God and hates evil. Job is rich in finances and family relationships, and Job rises early to intercede for his children. Do not leave your seats. It is not yet time for an intermission. I hope you ate before you came to the theater. Just as quickly as the curtain dropped on the prologue, now it opens back up again on Act 1, Scene 1. This act takes place partly in heaven and partly on earth in the land of Uz. Act 1, Scene 1 opens at Job chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm going to read Job chapter 1 verses 6 through 12. This is Job chapter 1 verses 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. This is God's word to us in Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. I keep repeating the reference so you do not miss it. Read it on your own tonight before bed. As the curtain is pulled back, we look up and enter heaven. That's right, heaven. Remarkably, we are now witnesses of something that's a daily occurrence in heaven. Notice the very beginning of verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. How do we know this is a daily occurrence? Listen to Job chapter 2, verse 1. I'm moving ahead to Job chapter 2, verse 1 for just a moment. Listen to how Job chapter 2 opens. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. Did you catch it? Again, there was a day. So in Job 1 verse 6, the Bible says, "Now there was a day." And in Job 2 verse 1, "Again, there was a day." So this day, as scene 1 of Act 1 opens, is a day like any other day in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Immediately we are swept away from our earthbound lives up into this scene in heaven, and this captures our attention because look who's there. God is. He is at the center. He reigns and he rules. And before him comes the sons of God. I will tell you who they are in a minute. And then, surprisingly, Satan is among them. It is the devil himself. The sons of God and Satan are before the throne of God in heaven. I want to ask and answer two questions. First, who are they who are before God? Second, why are they there? Let's start by answering the first question. The sons of God are the Lord's created intelligences. I believe they are angels. Here are two cross-references for you to read, Genesis 6:2 and Job 38:7. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, and Job chapter 38, verse 7, you will also read about these angels, the sons of God. The Bible says there are far too many angels to count, myriads of myriads, according to the Revelation. And these angels, the sons of God, have been away doing the ministry of God. They took an assignment from the Lord and completed it. Now they are summoned and returned to the throne of God. They're going to give a report. They're going to give an account. And Satan is there. I'll be saying more about him, but Satan is a title that means adversary. Satan is the great adversary who continually comes before God to accuse righteous people. As we will see, he certainly makes many accusations against Job, who, as God himself will declare, is righteous. And the accuser also accuses you and me, made righteous through Christ, for being sinners that should not be forgiven. They do not deserve to be forgiven, God, says Satan. Look at what they have done. And yet Christians remain safe in Christ Jesus and his atoning death for all of our sins. My, how this must frustrate Satan. So this is who is before God, and second we ask, why are they there? I'll save answering that question for tomorrow. We're making good progress on the opening act in the book of Job. We have two questions before us. Who are they who are before God? Second, why are they there? I've answered the first question and will answer the second on Thursday. This important reminder, write to me this month and tell me you listen. Mention the call letters of this station or tell me if you get this via the God Is podcast. When you write, I will send you the wonderful book by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. Write, and then join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.